Let's turn together to 1 Peter chapter 3, where we find our text for this morning. If you are joining with us as a congregation, we are drawing near to the end of our series on marriage. We started by looking at the context in Genesis, how God made man and woman. God made woman from man's side, and how that relates to the context where she is called to perform her work. She is called a helpmeet or a suitable helper to assist and aid. We're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. That's found on page 1178. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read the first six verses. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair or the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. That's as far as we're reading together this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we have the unique opportunity to show the world what a Christian marriage looks like. As Christians, we have the unique responsibility and opportunity to portray the gospel and how we live together, how we relate as husbands and wives. And as we saw last week with the calling of men to be faithful in the home, to be kind and compassionate, considerate, loving to their wives, to be tender, to honor their wives. So this week we're going to find that when husbands and wives live together in the home becomes a place of great blessing, of great prosperity, and great spirituality. If you remember from about a month ago, we looked at one of the benefits of a Christian marriage. And one of the benefits of a Christian marriage is that there is a mutual accountability and a stirring on towards spirituality. Since you are co-heirs, as we found earlier in, or later here in Peter, co-heirs, co-travelers, fellow citizens in the kingdom of God, we expect that living together with a Christian is as iron sharpens iron for our spiritual good and maturity. So we come to the role and responsibility of women today. So just as headship, we saw last week, headship does not mean barking orders or insensitive demands, so also, submission does not mean slavery or weakness as it is defined today. The fact is, women get a bad deal. The women's liberation movement, which is so vocal today, it promotes freedom, but at the expense of home. The women's liberation movement forces the worldly concept of productivity, so that women are only seen as having worth and value if they have a good-paying job, if they drive an expensive car, if they are out of the home, separated from their husbands and their children. That's what the women's liberation defines as prosperity. But on the flip side, what has happened is that many, seeing this women's liberation movement, have responded by practicing oppression, trying to push down their wives, to keep their wives hidden so that their wives are not seen, are not productive, and are not using their gifts in any way. Women are getting a raw deal. but thankfully. Praise God. As we come to this passage today, Jesus Christ opens up the beautiful position of wife and mother within the home. In fact, Jesus Christ enables wives to willingly submit for the good of their family and the glory of God. Their family benefits and God is glorified. His name is exalted in this world when wives willingly submit. And you'll remember, as our passage says here in Peter and also from Ephesians, that the marriage as a picture of Christ in the church, where men are called to be sacrificial in their servant-like leadership. They give of themselves, they sacrifice themselves. Men put the needs, the benefit, the honor of their wives before their own. So today, women are called to reflect the church. Women are called to submit and obey. It's Jesus Christ who enables us to live as we ought. His Spirit enables us to love and to serve, each in our specific context. So we look at this theme that Jesus Christ enables wives to willingly submit for the good of their family and the glory of God. A truly humble heart. That's a Christian heart. Without a Christian heart, no wife would willingly submit to those over them. In fact, no one would willingly submit. We're all called, everyone in our respective positions, all called to submit to those who are over us. That passage where we began there in verse 1 says this, "Wives, in the same way," or "likewise." If you look at this word, the importance of the word "likewise" or "in the same way" is bringing us all into this context. Submission is not just the calling of the wife. Everyone is called to submit in their respective context, as we're going to see in a few minutes. But today we are focusing on the specific calling of a wife to submit to her husband. So we start with the calling of the wife, considering the calling of this woman within the home. On her wedding day, we have that image of the young lady being led down the center aisle with her hand, her arm, attached to her father. And what takes place at the bottom of the stairs here is there is a transfer, isn't there? You remember this moment in your marriage? When the young man, the groom, goes down and the father takes the hand of his daughter and places that hand into the hand of her future husband. There is a transfer that is taking place here where this young woman has been under the care, protection, and provision of her father, now being placed into the care, protection, under the providing, that extending wing of benediction and blessing of her soon-to-be husband. Husbands are called to a tenderness, to honor and respect, to view their wife as a worthy vessel, to be cherished and nourished. Well, what is the wife called to do in a context like this? She is called to be subject, verse 1 says, or be submissive to your husbands. Now this word, it's a hupotasso in the Greek, which means to put yourself under, to find allegiance with, or to align yourself with the leadership or direction of another. But if you look at the context, in 2 verse 13, you find the same thing. 2 verse 13, submit yourself to every authority instituted among men. And then 2 verse 18, slaves, submit yourselves to your master. As everyone is called to submit to their governing authority, as slaves are called to submit to their masters, so also wives are called to submit or be submissive to their husbands. Now, the way in which this submission is made evident, is bear out. It changes. It's directly related to the connection to that position. For example, your relationship to your governing authority means that you submit to them. Submitting to them means that you honor them, that you pay your taxes, that you speak about the politicians or your rulers with respect. You speak to them with respect. If a police officer pulls you over, that's what it means to be subject or submissive to your governing authority. And within the context of verse 18, slaves are called to submit to their masters. So employee-employer relationship is governed by this concept of submission to those whom God has placed over you. So in that big picture, broad picture, we come to focus on wives and their relationship to their husbands. Submission is the proper response of someone to those whom God has placed over them. Submission is a proper response to God-given authority, where God places you under someone to be led and directed by that other person. And this is what it means to be a wife submitting to her husband. Now, we do not read, "Husbands, make your wives submit." We do not read, "Husbands, force your wives to be submissive." No, this is the calling of a wife: to willingly yield and obey. The wife is called to take the initiative to follow the headship of her husband. If the husband has to force his wife to submit, it is no longer submission. It doesn't work. The wife is called to take it upon herself to choose to willingly put herself under the direction and leadership of her husband, because her heart has been touched by the gospel. For the sake of her faith and the testament, the witness in this world, the wife willingly and even cheerfully takes her place under the protection and direction of her husband. As Colossians 3 verse 14 says, "Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord." This is a Christian calling. Submission is a Christian calling. It is part of your service to the Lord, your obedience to His word. It is something which you are called to do and Spirit equipped to do. But what does that look like? Let's be very practical. Let's put some pointed aspects, application here. What does it mean for a wife to willingly, cheerfully submit, align, to find her place under the authority of her husband? What do you think that looks like? How do you see this? How do you view it? Well, Christian wives should look for an opportunity to honor and build up their husbands, focusing on what they do well and encouraging them in their leadership. So, wives, in applying this to your specific context, you are called to honor your husbands, to build them up, and to speak to them and about them in such a way that reflects your Christian submissive heart. If speaking about your husbands, you say things that you would never want someone to say about your father, you have misunderstood submission. Honor the reputation, the good name of your husband. It's to be defended by you. Now, that doesn't mean you cover for his sins. Because remember, it is a Christian calling. If your husband is living in blatant sin, you as a fellow Christian are called to follow what Matthew says, rebuking them. And if they don't repent of their sins, you get a witness and bring it with you. You're concerned about the spiritual well-being of your husband. That does not mean that you cover for their sins. But it does mean that you try to put them in the best light before others. You encourage them. So, wives, how can you encourage your husbands? Encouraging your husbands in ways that they understand and appreciate. Maybe it's writing a small little note and sticking it in their lunchbox before they go to school, before they go to school, or before they go to, well, they could be in seminary, right? Or before they go to work, or you know, just a word of encouragement. Have a great day, honey. I hope work goes well for you. We love you very much. We appreciate your willingness to put 40, 50, 60 hours into work to provide for our family. Or when they come home and you're talking on the phone to someone, you say, oh, my husband is home. I'm going to have to call you back. You put the phone down and you greet your husband who walks in the door. That's how you honor your husband. In fact, what did Sarah do is Sarah called her husband Master. Well, we don't talk like that today, but you get the idea behind how you talk to your husband in front of your children, to your friends. It says an awful lot of how you view them and their position over you. So you respect them, you honor them, you encourage them. And you support them. Supporting them means that you help them do better, be better, be more productive, be more faithful as a husband and father and as a Christian. And then you follow them. You follow their leadership. You follow their direction. You give them wise counsel. But at the end of the day, when they make a decision, that is the decision for your family. And you go with it. It was not good, as we saw from Genesis, it was not good for Adam to be without his helper. So your presence should bring good to your husband. But this submission is not a weak thing. Looking back at our passage in verse 1, in the same way be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Our world defines submission as something weak, ineffective. It's like being, you know, a limp noodle. It's not doing anything. It's not standing up for anything. It's just, you know, being very wishy-washy. That's how it defines submissive. That is not the definition of submission in our passage. This submission is powerful. It's power-packed. It's evangelical. So powerful that unbelieving husbands have been won over without a word. Have been won over, their hard hearts have been crushed by the faithful submission of their Christian husbands. This is not some weak-willed pushover, but an influential servant-like heart of one who chooses to obey Christ, and in choosing to obey Christ, there is no loss of dignity. Peter says, to soften the rough hearts of husbands, you need to be gentle, respectful, and submission. I mean, that is not how our world thinks. Right? If you need to break something hard, you need to hit it with something harder. That's what our world thinks, right? I mean, I grew up on a farm. If it doesn't move, get a bigger hammer. That's what our world says. But to break hard hearts, you have soft, humble, submissive, respectful, aligning yourself and encouraging words. So that even if your husband is not a Christian, it may be that by your powerful submission, they may be won over for the Lord. But many of us here have the blessing, many of you wives have the blessing of being joined to a Christian husband. The power that you have, Christian wives, to foster spiritual growth in your husbands and in your children is extremely important. By your respectful and pure conduct, you can foster spiritual growth. Powerful. Powerful submission because of the important role you play in the home. You can win over your family by your behavior. Verse 1 says, by your conduct, by your conversation, how you speak, how you act. You are salt. You bring light. As Eve was made for Adam, a suitable helper, so the woman can be a great blessing to their family, encouraging and supporting, enabling, being joyful, and even creative in her service. With Eve's help, Adam went forth to fill the earth and subdue it. The king needs a queen. The old saying, behind every good man, there's a good woman, is not too far from the truth. So her position is powerful for the sake of her family, but it's also extremely productive. Has it ever struck you when reading from Proverbs 31 how varied, I mean, the multitude of things that the Christian wife can do and is called to do, I mean it's boggling. She has her hand on the pulse of her family, of the church, and society. She has her hand in everything from food to clothing, directing the economy. She purchases a field. She makes wares and sells them. I mean, this is not the oppressive, a wife is to be seen and not heard. The only place she can ever be is in the home with her hands in the sink. That is not the Proverbs 31 kind of wife. The Proverbs 31 is such a blessing that they overflow from the home, and it starts flowing to the neighbors and to the needy and to the church and to the society as a whole. Even if we saw this in our men's Bible study, 1 Timothy 3, elders and deacons are to be one woman men, but then Paul continues in 1 Timothy 3, by expanding upon what kind of a wife elders and deacons will have. Why is there a focus on the wives of elders and deacons in the context of church leaders? That's because when elders and deacons are married to faithful wives, they are enabled to be better elders and deacons. They are assisted to be more productive, more faithful in their calling when their husbands are encouraged by faithful wives. Like the widows of 1 Timothy, serving and helping, teaching, ministering to those who are in need. Women can provide wise counsel, directing men and encouraging men to make wise decisions for the sake of their family, for the sake of the church, and for the sake of their work. God has blessed women with a different way of reasoning, which balances man's way of reasoning. A man tends to think goal-orientated, one-track mind. I have something I need to do. I'll do this in order to get there. But the woman thinks broad picture, multifaceted. I mean, she's got all sorts of different things going on at the same time. She's thinking relational. How is this going to affect relations? How is this going to affect how other things are going on here, how our relationship with other people? Such a powerful influence you have, women, to encourage your husbands to, what about this? Have you considered this? What about this? Your advice, your counsel in the home helps your husband be faithful in whatever work they're called to do. Such a powerful influence you ladies had. And my wife said, I cannot use her as an illustration, but I know that my own home would never function if my wife was not a faithful wife, a Christian wife. I mean, I just said this last night. If Allison goes down, our ship sinks. It ain't going to work. Faithful wives. This is a godly, gentle spirit. And as verse 3 says, this is precious. Verse 3 and 4 says, your beauty should not be all about the externals. What's your focus, ladies? It's not all about the externals. You're not so concerned about, you know, having the newest trends or the newest clothes or the most cutting-edge hairstyles. That's not the point. Where does your beauty come from? Well, verse 4 says this. Your beauty is that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. A gentle and quiet spirit. The focus of the wife is not on the passing things, but she has her finger on the pulse of the eternal things. Her internal beautiful spirit, she is gentle, she is meek. Remember what Jesus said? Matthew 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the world. Blessed are the meek. And she is gentle. She is peaceable. She is not easily unseated or agitated, not easily disturbed. As Proverbs 31 says, when the snow flies, she's not worried. A gentle and quiet spirit. Proverbs 11, and I love this illustration. Proverbs 11. Like a gold ring and the snout of a pig is a beautiful woman who has no discretion. I love that. External beauty with an ugly heart is like sticking a gold ring in a pig's nose. A woman who is more concerned with the external beauty and has no heart for the Lord, his glory, and his family's good is ugly before the Lord. True beauty is imperishable. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9 echoes this. Women should dress in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control as is proper for those who profess godliness. Or Proverbs 31, beauty is fading, charm is deceitful, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The fact is the conduct of the wife is shaped by the gospel. The focus is not on the passing things, right? We do not conform our desires to the things of this world, but we are transformed to think of the things that are to come. The inner beauty that is something that lasts. In this, a godly wife begins to look more and more like the church, and in fact, more and more like Christ. Christ who came meek and lowly, gentle and peaceable. Husbands can taste the gospel in the conduct and speech of their wives. Husbands can taste the gospel. The world sees the gospel, sees Christ when a wife is faithfully submitting. As verse 6 says, in this way, doing what is right, she will be a great good and blessing. Her position of submission is powerful and productive, extremely influential, and brings great blessings upon those with whom she dwells. Now that we understand why or what a wife is called to do, what this word submission is, to align yourself with, to encourage, support, we continue by looking at the motivation. Why would a wife willingly and cheerfully choose to submit herself? Well, most of you here have heard at least a few sermons in your life about the calling of a wife to be submissive. But why? What's the motivation that should drive the Christian wife in this calling? Why will she choose to align herself with someone who is still a sinner? Well, as verse 5 identifies, this is the calling, the work of a holy woman. A holy woman means that this woman, a Christian wife, has been touched by the Holy Spirit. Her heart has been transformed. Remember, we looked at this last week with husbands, where husbands who are touched by the gospel are no longer self-centered, seeking my own good, but are sacrificially honoring and supporting and benefiting their family and their wives. So it is with godly women who have been touched by the Holy Spirit. They know their true heavenly husband. And this fact moves them to willingly and cheerfully submit and obey her earthly husband. Verse 7, we saw this last week, they are co-heirs of the grace of life. Co-heirs of the grace of life. Or we read from Ephesians chapter 5, the wife submits to her husband as the church submits to Christ. A godly wife desires to be faithful because she is a part of the church. The gospel has changed her affections, changed her desires, so that she is no longer pursuing a name for herself, but she is pursuing the benefit of the whole. Submission helps her grow in her contentment. She is godly and content in the position that God has placed her in. Subjecting herself fosters a quiet spirit. She has different motivations and different goals than those in this world, because her heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Christ has given her a servant-like heart. This is the Christian calling. And if she doesn't have this servant-like heart, she confesses it as sin and prays for the Holy Spirit to give her the desires in keeping with her God-given position. She's not looking to her own interests. She's not first and foremost concerned about climbing the corporate ladder or what car she'll drive. The desire to become great in the eyes of the world has been substituted with becoming great in the eyes of the Lord. Look at verse 4 again. This submission, verse 4 says, is precious in God's sight. She's not so concerned what's precious in the sight of the world. She's concerned what is precious in God's sight. That's what motivates her. So she lives for God's glory. To hear those words, "Well done, my daughter. You have been faithful in little. Now you're going to get much. You've been meek in this world, lowly. Now you're going to inherit blessings beyond measure." But not only is this thing precious in God's sight, and the fact that her heart has been touched by the Holy Spirit, that reason motivates her first and foremost, but there is a second motivation. And that's because she knows the blessings which will be given to her family. Her husband and her children will be blessed by her, and she wants blessings for them. And Proverbs 31 says, her husband and her children will bless her. Her husband and her children will praise her name in the gates. But there is a third motivation, and that is because she understands structure. God has established a certain order in this world. As we saw earlier when we looked at the verse 13 and verse 18, the calling to submit is not a uniquely wife calling. It's not unique to the position of the wife. The context teaches that in every respect, we are all called to submit to those whom God has placed over us. So children, you are called to submit to and obey your parents. Children, you are called to submit to your teachers. Just like your father is called to submit to their boss. And we all, as citizens, are called to submit to those whom God has placed over us. We all are called to submit in various ways. Submission is a Christian calling, not unique to the wife. Now, to the wife in relation to her husband, absolutely. But every one of us here are called to submit, to honor, to respect, and to obey those whom God has placed over us. Even within a church, we are all called to submit to our elders because God has placed them over us. Look at verse 2, verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. At the end of the day, our submission to those whom God has placed over us is part of our submission to God. The way that we show a humble heart is by aligning ourselves with those whom God has placed over us. Now, you're right. If we would ever have some sort of a law passed in this land which would be contrary to Scripture, as the book of Acts says, we must obey God before men. But whenever our leaders are those whom God has placed over us, whenever they are calling us to do something which is not contrary to the word, we are called to bow the knee or to bend under the yoke and to submit to those whom God has placed over us. So although this particular sermon is focused at wives submitting to their husband, when you go home today, you can't say, well, this sermon was only directed toward the wives or the women of this church, because everyone here is called to submit. Submission is a Christian calling. Who has God put over you? Submit to them as a part of your service to the Lord. God is a God of order. Not chaos and confusion. You find this in the world in which we live. What happens when people throw off the yoke of order? You have chaos and confusion, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. But God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. So we are all called to honor, to submit, and to obey. And part of this God-given order is found in the home, where wives are called to submit, meaning that they can be creative and supportive and joyful in their submission to the God-ordained authority. As Ephesians 5:23 says, husbands are the head of their wives. This is the God-created order. A Christian wife respects the God-given order, knowing that it's for her good and it's for God's glory. And there's one final motivation here found in verse 6, where Sarah is set before us as an example, a holy woman of old. When Christian wives submit to their husbands, they are following their matriarch. You are Sarah's daughter, and you know what kind of woman Sarah was. Sarah was beautiful. She was beautiful. Now, there was a certain kind of beauty that the kings of the nations saw, but there was another kind of beauty that Abraham saw, a kind of beauty that was precious to the Lord. And that's the kind of beauty that gets her name listed here, the internal beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, we know Sarah wasn't perfect, but she did submit to her husband. And because she submitted to her husband, followed where he led, she became a queen, a princess, who was the mother of a nation, and in many ways the mother of the church. So for the sake of your family, for the sake of the church and the state, for the sake of your relationship with God, for the good of your own souls, let every wife be subject to her own husband. To conclude, submission does not mean less important. As we saw, when we define submission as the freedom to be creative and supportive under God-given authority, we see that everyone is called to submit. You may be surprised, but even Jesus submitted as he learned obedience. Jesus submitted himself to the will of his Father in heaven. Now, no one would say that in Jesus' submission, he was making himself less important than his Father. No, he recognized that there is structure. The Son submitted to the will of his Father. So, wives, submit to your husbands. Even Jesus submitted to his parents, as Luke 2 says. He was subject to them. This is Jesus, the perfect one, submitting to imperfect parents because of the God-given structure and order. So as we go home today, remember your God-given position. Are you a child? Submit to your parents. Are you a wife? Submit to your husband. Are you a husband? Submit to your boss. As everyone in the congregation, we submit to our elders. There is different functions within the family, a division of labor for the sake of productivity. So when a wife is subject, if she submits herself, she acknowledges God's given leadership and authority. She will be praised by God and men. There is great honor in choosing to submit. It is precious in God's sight. So today we have seen that Jesus Christ enables wives to willingly submit for the good of their family and for the glory of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage you have here set before us, and we thank you for the privilege we have of reflecting Christ and his church. We start by praying, O Lord, that you would give us all submissive hearts, that we would submit ourselves to your word. We would submit ourselves to your leadership, your headship. As the church is called to submit to Christ, and Lord, we are all part of the church, may we submit to our head, Jesus Christ. And we pray for our wives, that you would give them quiet, gentle, humble hearts in submitting to their husbands, that they would reflect the church to the world in which we dwell. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.